This is a HeadGum Original.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
The comfort of your favorite seat is now your comfy car selling command center, thanks to Carvana.
It doesn't get any better than this.
Your favorite seat's the best spot in the house. Make it even better by entering your license plate or VIN and getting a real offer in minutes.
There really is no place like home.
And speaking of home, Carvana will pick up your car from yours after you finalize your offer. Visit Carvana.com or download the app and sell your car from your comfy place.
Jake and Amir, two Jews that you can't forget. In 2010, they were big on the internet. And all things considered, their success is more than fair. Now here's one more effort for only positive motivations, they swear.
Segment.
Another podcast.
Segment.
Each app different from the last.
Segment.
Swiss Army Knife of Shows.
Now
it's your two emphatic hoes.
Whoa.
Segments.
Positive spin on an old classic.
That's right. Monchi heard the feedback. He said, I've been seeing some people critiquing that the theme song is too negative. They don't like that it's immune to us.
We wrote it. Yeah.
It's sort of this reverse of every kind of internet comment, which is like, famously negative, like, these guys suck, why is their show so positive? This is the opposite. People were like, these guys are nice, their theme song is mean, we don't like it.
Yeah, hey, they didn't fail that bad.
Yeah, and so Ferris was like, let me update the theme song, do a positive version. I don't know if this is the new version going forward, but I liked a little something new.
Yeah, we can use it interchangeably. It's kind of cool. Mm-hmm. And the interstitials are going to be nice to us too, aren't they?
Yeah, that's the goal. That's the hope. Instead of going assholes, it's like smart dudes or whatever.
That's awesome. That's awesome.
Although you could be smart and an asshole.
Most smart people are.
Because they're so intelligent, they could figure out ways to be mean to you.
Yeah, and they think they're better than you because they're smarter than you. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah. When in fact, they're not like, they didn't do anything. All they did is just fucking be born with a different brain chemistry or something.
Yeah. And then theoretically, maybe they like studied and tried to learn it better themselves.
Oh, like so they're more knowledgeable.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. I guess there's lots of different ways of being smart.
Yeah. That's kind of annoying, actually, now that I think about it. Like, there's only so much time in a day. You can't learn about everything. So, like, this guy figured out how to game the system and be smart in a specific way. Now he's yelling at you about it. I was I didn't study that. I don't know what you're talking about economically, I guess.
Like, back off, okay? Not everybody knows finances, bud.
Yeah.
And
I know finances.
Right.
Yeah.
Do you really?
Yeah, like, I know a lot about everything, but I'm just saying, in general, if someone doesn't,
like other people,
we shouldn't look down on them. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Is that what you're saying? So you're saying you're really, you were just saying that people
I'm
were
smart.
Smart, were assholes.
Okay. Yeah.
You're really smart. Yeah. At finances,
that was me
the
trying
one
to be like humble and sort
up.
Of game the system in a cheeky sort of wink wink fashion to be like, hey, by the way, like, I don't know what I'm talking about, but then like, actually, I am that smart asshole kind of guy.
Right. What do you know about finances?
Not finances, like, but I'm just saying in general, like world history, physics, like I like basically have a breadth of knowledge. I'm a master
you
of
have
all
a big
trades
ass
and a master
brain.
Of all.
Yeah. And okay. So yeah, that's the saying is jack of all trades, master of none. You're saying master of all trades and a master of all.
And a jack of none.
Yeah. Because everything you even
I'm
take
a
on,
jack
even
of
as
no
a,
trades.
Yeah. As a hobby, you become kind of an expert. You said history. So I'm curious.
Don't
what
be curious.
Well, I mean, I'm fascinated by history too. Like, Yeah. Okay, so you just know it and you don't even care. Can you tell me a little bit about...
I basically figured out enough in AP US that I can carry me
forward. Okay, US history. I never really understood who was involved in the War of 1812. Do you want to run through that with me?
War of 1812 happened in 1812. It was between... Yeah. It was an extension of a few different battles. A battle here, a battle there, and then all of a sudden it's now it's a fucking war. And
right. I think that tends to be a lot of wars. So you're saying...
And America was just starting to be a thing. Right. But this was before everything.
You're trying to put it in ultra layman's terms. Tell me what countries were involved. The U.S.
Yep.
And
for sure. And then a few
1812.
Others.
I wonder who was president at that time?
In 1812?
Yeah.
It was not Jefferson. It was James Madison.
100%?
Yeah, 100%. Of course, 100%. I don't say anything that's 12%.
I trust you. Do you mind if I fact check that?
Fact check? It's a fact, Jack. It's a fact.
It was James Madison.
Yes, I know.
Yeah. And you, all right, so that's great. You said you know a lot about history. You did nail who was president in 1812.
Okay, so moving on.
You did nail the start of the war shit. Was a bunch of battles.
You said you had a good segment. You were like, let's do this thing.
Well, I'm curious because you said you were good at history, and then what else did you say? Bio or something, or chemistry?
Physics, yeah.
Physics. Okay. Do you mind if I ask you a physics question?
Please. I feel like I'm being put on trial here a little bit, so I am defensive and I'm getting upset, but that's just chemically I find myself being shoved a little bit where I'm whoa.
The rate of change of momentum of a body is directly proportional to applied force and takes place in the direction in which the force acts. This is something called second law of motion, the law of inertia,
Newton's
first law of motion, or third, that's not one of the options, or third law of motions. And I can ask for a hint, but it would feel... I can't imagine you would want one because you're an expert. Yeah. Do you want me to repeat the question?
I thought you were telling me something. You're telling that was a multiple choice question?
Yeah, right. The rate of change of momentum of a body is directly proportional to applied force, and it takes place in the direction in which the force
acts. An object in motion will stay in motion, right?
Uh-huh. Well, I don't know if that is what that
Do you hear what I'm saying? An object in motion will stay in motion.
That's is that momentum. The first law of motion?
That's inertia.
Is that?
That's
not inertia.
It's like this body is going there.
The thing that I just said, which is a question, which you didn't know it was a question at first, even though I think you did. You did ask me to repeat it. I did repeat it. You're not answering. Avoiding.
Okay. Give me the options because I tinkled myself second a law little of motion. Bit when you were asking me. Yeah. So I was I was split between Newton's laws and then also I did a little duty while
what
you
are
were
Newton?
Talking.
You poo-pooed yourself?
I did a little duty in my diaper. So now I'm trying to put that away, decompartmentalize where it's just that's gone.
I guess that's good because, you don't have to go to the toilet because then you would spend less time studying and learning, knowing shit. So why would
so
you
what were the
to
three
the
options?
You just do duty in your diaper. It is the second law of motion, the law of inertia, the first law of motion, or the third law of motion?
Inertia.
You think it's inertia? That's interesting. Okay, let's see. It wasn't inertia. Let's say that we narrowed that down to three now from the multiple choice. Because I do
just
still
the three
trust
laws
that you're
of
smart.
Motion.
Yeah. So is it the first, second, or third law of motion?
Second.
That's correct.
I mean, the thing is, getting it right is all about paying the price, and I feel like I did that to an extent. Mm-hmm. To an extent.
Yeah.
So I was able to do eventually. The James Madison. I did do the second law of what is it? Mm-hmm. Momentum, inertia, motion.
The period of SHM does not depend on the
SHM.
Yeah. Why don't we even just make it simpler? What does SHM stand for?
In physics.
Yeah.
S-H-M? I mean, the whole thing's a sham.
Nice. What does S-H-M stand for?
And it does stand for something when you ask that question. It was like, by the way, everyone knows this, but now this is the question.
Like, yeah, that question basically assumed that you already knew what S-H-M was.
Yes. Yeah.
And we can still, if you want to, just, you know, answer that question.
Yeah, let's hear the question, and I can sort of ascertain from different context clues with regards to knowing what different words mean and what letters
they start with.
The period
of SHM does not depend on the phase constant, energy, amplitude, or all. Are you coughing?
I'm not coughing. I'm just thinking. And it's coming out in like a quick little burst. Mm-hmm. Boom.
Yeah.
Boom. So that's probably molecule or particle physics. I want to say the third one.
You can't even remember what it is. So
I want to say
you're just gonna, do you want to just guess three?
You I don't want to guess three.
Amplitude.
Yes.
But the question actually was, what does SHM stand for?
And it's I think it has something to do with like particle or molecule or something like that.
Simple harmonic motion. So it, I think it is still related to that first thing of like,
I don't know any of the things you're saying. I'm
God, you
find
crumble.
Myself guessing, sometimes right, sometimes wrong, and focusing on the good, the bad, in order to seem...
Amplitude was
smarter
technically
slash
correct.
Better. Really? Because I did fucking know that. And like the way
but
you like
they,
backed me down. Well, no, made me
the,
seem
well,
like
the
I
correct
had to
answer was all. It just included amplitude.
Like, why did I apologize for getting shit right? Now I'm like mad at you. Like, you're fucking inceptioning me to think that I didn't know shit, but I actually did know shit.
Sorry, man.
Did you take.
You knew the president shit.
Did you take physics in high school? Chemistry, bio?
Yeah. I took physics as a senior with a class of only juniors. It seemed to be like a class for smart juniors or dumb seniors, and I was the only senior in it. And I got a D in that class. I got a D.
It's pretty hard. It's funny because it's like, we'll put smart juniors or dumb seniors. It's like, no, they're all just like smart or dumb 16, 17, and 18. It
doesn't matter if like, I'm 16 or 17.
Because you're 1 year
stupid.
Older doesn't mean you would be a smart junior.
Right.
You're still just a dumb teen.
I don't
time.
Have that much more life experience here.
Yeah. Like they might as well put the smart seniors with the smart juniors with the smart sophomores.
And it was the type of class where the teacher would just constantly talk in questions and just call on people randomly. It was so stressful.
Known as the worst kind of class.
Yeah. So you're just like standing there like, I don't know. I don't know. And then he says your name. And you're just like, I truly don't know. I don't know what we're talking about. And like sometimes I would just guess something like refracted light and people would just like snicker.
You know it's bad when the other kids are laughing at you. Like, even those students who roll their eyes at education thought that was really dumb.
Yeah. It was like, wow, Jake, that was a clear guess. We're not even talking about light, bud.
Yeah, well, that's because I'm thinking about baseball. Obviously, I'm not thinking about this stuff.
I'm pretty good at writing, guys.
Yeah, does that matter at all in this class?
But actually, I
do
think
you
I had
care
a D
at
in
all
too.
That I know what poems mean, or like that's like completely not part of this lecture?
Wasn't fair.
Speaking of high school stories, since that I guess that's what this segment has turned into is high school stories. In ninth grade, history, there was like honors history that I didn't do. Because I wasn't quote unquote good at history, which is just, I guess, reading a textbook and memorizing it. So there was like regular history. And one of my friends noticed pretty early on that the teachers were Xeroxing tests from a teacher's textbook. And that was our tests every month. So he's like, I could just buy this book on like Amazon and we can have the answer to every test. We're like, all right, let's do that. And we just would literally memorize, instead of memorizing history, we would memorize the answer choices. So I would go in there being like A, A, B, C, D, A, A, B, D, D, C, D, and like just write and fill that out. And like, wow, you got 19 out of 20. You got an A.
And right. So you'd have to get like one or two wrong. Collude with your friends to be like, I'm going to get 17 wrong. You'll get three wrong or something. So like,
yeah,
you guys weren't getting the exact same ones.
Some people would get 100. They wouldn't be like that. It's not like that difficult. Like some people would get 20 out of 20 and we would just get 19 or 18 out of 20. We didn't have to like figure out exactly which one of us would get which one wrong. And it kind of backfired because I got an A in that class. And they moved me to AP U.S. History in 10th grade.
Oh, wow.
Which is like a next level of history. We like bypassed honors. So it's like, all right, we're sending you straight to college level history. I'm like, oh, no. And like no cheating in that class at all. And that class was just a really boring lady who would literally for 80 minutes a day just be like, all right, let's learn about this thing and just read notes. That was the class. So just like watching a really boring movie every day of high school. And then in 3 months, they're like, all right, here's your test. Write an essay on the thing I said 4 weeks ago. Like, I don't remember I cheated. I'm sorry. I shouldn't have cheated. This is all a huge misunderstanding.
Punish me.
Can I graduate differently if I tell you? Yeah. Like, you did so well in 9th grade. We thought like this would be just like a natural next progression. And I remember getting like borderline a C+, like 79.5%, just enough for a B- to save face in this AP US history class.
You know what's funny? I feel like I thought history was insanely boring when I was in high school, like, but now I like history. And the idea of a sweet old woman just reading me 80 pages of history text sounds great. Yeah. That's like, it's essentially a podcast that I listen to.
Yes, like, it was the original podcast. But like, she didn't do a very good job of like, hey, let's make this fun. Or like, hey, let me teach you about this thing. It's like, whoa, why are you telling me about the 1988 World Series? Like, oh, it's actually about the XYZ affair. And this is why. It was just like, in 1912, the Gilded Age started when Woodrow Wilson. I was just like, oh, this is so boring. I don't want to read and listen to you read a fucking textbook at me for a year.
Man, history does see, like, there's so much, like, U.S. history, there's too much of, and then you, like, expand that to world history.
Like, that was a completely set, it was like American history for a year, and it's like, all right, now let's learn about everything else. It's like, everything else, Jesus.
Yeah.
There's no way you could cram in everything else.
Yeah. Like, we learn about the revolution, 1776, but what else was happening anywhere else in the world in 1776? Yeah. I've never, ever learned what was going on in China in 1776. Like, it just...
Do they learn about it in China?
They have to. There's no way that they're learning when our country was formed. Like, because I don't know when any other country was formed. So,
we're the fucking number one. They're learning about our shit. They're learning English over there.
You hate us because you ain't us. All right.
Yeah.
That's me as a history
teacher.
You're
not watching your fucking local TV. You're watching Friends, aren't you? I bet you know what Chandler did in 2014.
RIP, baby.
Okay. That was it. That was, I guess, high school stories, the segment. Let's take a break and come back with another one.
Love it.
Thank you to Squarespace for sponsoring this episode of our show.
Indeed. Indeed.
Simply put, it's the easiest way to create a professional-looking website.
Couldn't agree more, bud.
That's it.
Yeah.
That's the tweet. No, they do have a lot more than that. They have 24/7 award-winning customer support. They have very simple drag-and-drop technology. You can code, you can design a professional-looking website without knowing much about how the internet works.
You can sell. You can launch and sell product. From Squarespace. Yes. That's right.
You can even purchase a domain name through Squarespace. For example, Jake, what can people purchase?
Boneheader.com. Boneheader. It's like...
Interesting. That's pretty good.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like if you're a boneheaded person, but you're doing a boneheader of a move. You know what I mean?
What about fitnessnah.com? So it's sort of like a relaxation technique slash... way to say damn the man with regards to fitness.
It's a movement about not going to the gym. Fitness?
It's it's an anti-movement, really. Oh, it's a non-movement movement.
Is anti-movement one? Anti-movement seems like
it should
be. I'll
have to check it out later. Actually, let me look right now. Antimovement.com is not available. Don't buy that one.
Okay. Yeah. I wouldn't. But so it's more fitness of a fitnessnah.com. Yeah, it's more of a fitness nah thing.
Yeah. Squarespace AI also is a great way to kickstart or update written content on any website. They can generate instant personalized results that know and show your brand identity. Pretty cool there too.
Incredible.
So the way to get in on this action and launch your own website soon enough is to go to squarespace.com/segments.
Segments.
And when you're ready to launch, you use that coupon code segments at checkout to save 10% off their already low prices.
Beautiful.
Again, check out squarespace.com for a free trial. And when you're ready to launch, go to squarespace.com/segments to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain.
Thanks, folks.
Thanks, Squarespace. Thank you to Rocket Money for sponsoring this episode of our program.
Hell yeah.
It's pretty simple. It's a personal finance app that finds and cancels your unwanted subscriptions, and then it monitors your spending and helps lower your bills so that you can grow your savings.
It's perfect. It's for all those subscriptions that you tried and then forgot about, but you're actually paying for and you don't even realize it, folks.
I had, no joke, over $1 million a month worth of subscriptions that I did not need.
That's amazing.
Did not
need. That's amazing. That's so much cash.
I was buying 35 new houses a freaking month on this subscription box that I accidentally subscribed to when I was high.
Bark box. Yeah, bark box.
Yeah, it came with the condos, dozens of them a month. Mm-hmm. And I said, you know what? Let me do a quick little audit. Rocket Money came in and they're like, by the way, you're spending $1.5 million a month. We could probably just cancel this one.
Yeah. Like, damn,
and
I could use that.
I did.
Incredible.
Yes. Congrats. And you should use that. Rocket Money has over 5 million users and has saved them a total of $500 million. That's almost entirely me. $500 million in canceled subscriptions.
Yeah.
Most of it yours. Saving the average member only $740 a year, which is not as much as the $1.5 million a month that I saved, but still a lot of money to some people.
For sure.
So if you're looking to save some cash, which who isn't, you can stop wasting money on things you don't use. Cancel your unwanted subscriptions by going to rocketmoney.com/segments.
Segments.
There's something in your bank account that doesn't need to be there. Rocketmoney.com/segments will find it and eliminate it.
Whoa. Nice.
Again, that's rocketmoney.com/segments.
Segments.
Take control of your finances today. Mm-hmm. Thank you, Rocket Money.
Cool guys.
All right, we're back. Here's a slightly related segment that I've been thinking about for a while, but makes sense right now.
Right.
The segment is called Name One Thing That Happened This Year. Not this year specifically.
It's the history lesson
I'll
continues.
Throw out a year. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's instead of history, it's just modern current events. But like,
right.
Let's start with an easy one. What name one thing that happened in 2016? 2016.
Right. Yeah. So 2016, that is the election, the Donald Trump Hillary Clinton election. Okay.
Even numbers are always a little bit easier. There's elections, there's Olympics, there's sporting events. Things happen in 2016.
Right.
Where I get messed up / tripped up is if you nudge it 1 to 3 years after that. Like, for example, can you, and feel free to play at home, it's not that long ago, name one thing that happened in 2019. This is 5 years ago now. Mm-hmm. A lot of things happened in 2019. We were fully formed adults.
Yeah.
2019. Just looking for one thing.
Okay.
You can sort of talk your way through it, back into it, like based on like things that happened to you. Do you like, okay, what happened to you in 2019? Do you remember anything that happened to you?
In 2019, let's see. So I got married in 2018. I moved to New York in December of 2018. So that is basically
count.
Right. No, yeah. But as soon as I get to New York, that's that first year in New York City. What was stuff that happened that year? Where did
globally,
I go?
Locally.
What did I do?
This is pre-pandemic. Did we didn't quite know. Yeah. COVID wasn't a thing yet.
Yeah, all I can think is I went to Paris. What was going on there? Nothing. I think
was there a revolution there?
Notre Dame caught on fire.
Oh, that's a good guess. Okay, Notre Dame. Because
I'm pretty sure that because I went to Paris in 2019. That was when I got food poisoning and I couldn't go to the church when everybody else did. But I remember that it burned down. I was like, wow. So I didn't go when I was there and maybe I'll never get to see it.
The Notre Dame Cathedral in Paris. The fire started April 15, 2019. You nailed it.
Yes. Yes, dude.
You got it. Awesome.
Right, I also know just from following Tottenham that they lost their Champions League game in 2019. Champions League final, which is kind of big. So I guess I could say who won it because I believe they lost to Man City.
But that was
also basically always right. I didn't remember that happened. You could basically always say that Manchester City won the Premier League. And you'd
sports is kind of a great cheat of this where it's like what happened
try not
this
to
year?
Do that. All right, I'll give you a year.
Give me a year.
Okay.
Preferably an odd number year.
Right. Let's go ahead. Let's say 2015.
Okay. Solid. 2015. Mm-hmm. So 2015. The year.
This is also you describing the War of 1812. You know just as little. And you were 35 for it.
Yeah, I was 32. We were living in the that big house on the hill, I think. Oh, we started HeadGum in 2015.
I don't know if that counts.
Yeah, no, but that's just like to help us place it.
Yeah.
Started HeadGum in 2015, August. Mm-hmm. We were living on that house, of course, on the hill. Classic.
Yep.
I think we went to Australia, maybe. It was like the first year the Warriors won the championship. I remember watching a game in either Australia or New Zealand.
Yeah, I think that was... Wow, when was it? I thought...
The first time we went to Australia was either 2015 or 2016.
Yeah, I think we watched Warriors games. I think it was like similar timing in both Australia and New Zealand.
Yeah.
But yeah, 2015.
I think that was that year. I think that was 2015.
Yeah, it was the first year because in New Zealand, it was the second time they won.
Yeah.
I remember it was a lot less interesting because they had KD then.
Yeah, and we were watching Steven Adams, who's from New Zealand, on the Thunder. Yeah. They were showing those games. Mm-hmm. And now in terms of famous world events that happened in 2015, kind of weird that Obama was the president. Feels like that would have happened a long, long time ago. But no, Obama was president in 2015.
Yeah. Still less than 10 years ago.
I want to say the Notre Dame Cathedral fire. But there's no
the
way,
the faulty
right?
wiring was installed that would result in the fire.
What about a royal baby? Like, wasn't there a royal baby that year?
I don't know. I really don't know. That's a solid guess, though.
Solid guess, because it was like 9 years ago. Mm-hmm. Kate and Will. I don't know much
about
that.
Was it the royal baby or the royal wedding?
Oh. That's one of those two happened on 2015, which would be a world event.
For sure.
The royal wedding. Well, that was what? Kate Middleton and Will, Prince William?
And everybody fell in love with Pippa Middleton, Kate's sister. The world met Pippa.
Show me the royal wedding. Okay. Kate and William. Look it up. I'll say July 1st, 2015. Smack dab in the middle of our street. Smack dab in the middle of that year. Smack dab.
Hold on. All right. So the first one I saw was Prince Harry and Meghan Markle. So that doesn't count.
That's obviously not the one I was talking about.
Yeah.
William and Kate plus eight.
Let's see. Good Lord. It's so hard to find when this happened. Oh, sorry, buddy. It is 2011. 2011.
Which is another year you could have given me.
Yeah. Let's see. Yeah. Prince George was 2013. A few years later, they announced the arrival of their daughter, Princess Charlotte. So maybe let's see when Princess Charlotte was born. She was born in 2015.
No, that doesn't count.
You said royal baby.
I don't even know who Princess Charlotte is. It's not what okay. I meant.
Yeah, I hear that.
I don't know anything that happened 2015, all right? Is that what you wanted to hear? Was there a famous plane crash or some shit? Oh, what about the Sully thing?
Oh, no, that was like 2007. Yeah, that did. I think that happened when we were working at IAC still.
Yeah.
So, okay, let's think. Where were we in 2015?
Yes, I already did this fucking thing. We were shooting our pilot. Yeah. True TV pilot. Is that world news?
When did the Syrian war happen? The civil war in Syria?
Because that really marred our pilot.
I think Russia launched its first airstrikes in Syria in 2015. So it was... Was it a civil war, though? Now I can't remember even that. There was something happened in Syria in 2015. This segment sucks. We're too fucking dumb. It's so depressing.
This is only 9 years ago, and we have not a single recollection.
Yeah. I mean, all right, how about this? Try to think of anything that happened in the last 10 years.
Okay, anything. Just one thing that just ever one fucking happened. Thing.
It doesn't Fine. Have to be Easy. On a certain date.
Yes. Think about it. It has to be.
Well, all right. Let's reverse engineer it. Let's take a look at Miracle on the Hudson. Sully Sullenberger.
Yes.
Lands his plane in the Hudson. What year do you think that is? Let's each guess. I will say 2011.
Okay, I'll go before that, 2009. And you know what? Fuck it. I think the balloon boy happened in 2015. How's that for a world event?
2009 is correct. You said 2009, right?
Yeah. All right. Nailed
How many people
it.
Died?
Accidentally.
What? How many people died? How many people died during the Miracle on the Hudson?
I thought zero. Like, wasn't the whole thing that he landed the plane in the water and they all survived?
That's correct. Yeah. Just trying to trip you up.
That's actually incorrect. There was a swimmer that night that got fucking sucked into the subterfuge. Nobody talks about him because he wasn't on the plane.
Yes, exactly. A lot of geese were dead.
I looked up 2015 just because we couldn't think of anything. Mm-hmm. And honestly, these things don't even ring a bell to me.
Yeah. I mean, there are some years that nothing happens, right?
No, there's a lot of things. I just don't know anything. Like Cuba and America reestablished ties. That was a thing.
Oh, yeah. I remember that.
The Greek debt spectacle. The 2015 Nepal earthquake. These are large things that happened that changed the world forever. Mm-hmm. And they just, 9 years later, yeah. I don't remember any of them.
I remember the debt spectacle, too. But I don't think I remember that earthquake. What else?
It kind of makes you think, like, I don't know, maybe we shouldn't be sweating the small stuff or the big, really. 9 years, we'll either be here right. or we won't. And yeah, maybe the Chinese stock market crashed in 2015, and that was a big deal to many, but does it really affect me now? Mm-hmm. No. So really, we shouldn't be learning / caring / doing anything for anyone, because none of it really matters, is what I'm trying to say. And this is the kind of history lesson that I didn't get in high school. They try to make shit seem important to me.
They do. And you know what? It's really all relative, because in 1776, a decade-long period of Pax Sinica for China, a time of relative peace in East Asia, was led by the Qing dynasty. And you don't know that. We don't know that there was peace in China during our Revolutionary War, do you? No. Nobody talks about that, at least not here.
Yeah. So let's pitch a movie called 1776, and it's all about that peace treaty in China. So, yeah. Like, you think you're going in there learning about Washington, Franklin, and the guys, and then suddenly, uh-oh, it's a rope-a-dope. That's right. This 1776 is about a peace treaty in China. And guess who wrote it? Jake and Amir. Did you hear about their new movie? They wrote about a peace treaty in China. Why? I don't know. They thought it was kind of a funny little goof.
Yeah.
To name a movie 1776.
To show us how narrow our viewpoint is. from the two guys who couldn't remember anything that happened in 2015.
Wrote a history movie to teach you that anything is possible.
We make our own history.
That's awesome, dude. All right, let's take another break, come back and talk about literally anything else. I'm sick of being not knowing shit.
Yeah.
This HeadGum podcast is brought to you by Aura Frames.
That is right.
From grandmothers to new mothers, aunts, even the friends of your life, every mom loves an Aura Frame.
Holy shit, even aunts?
Yes, especially aunts.
Oh, well.
Because it was named the best digital photo frame by Wirecutter and selected as one of Oprah's favorite things. I mean, these Aura Frames are guaranteed to bring joy to moms of all ages.
I believe it.
You have an Aura Frame, don't you?
Yes, I actually more than believe it. I know it. I've got one for my mom, my mother-in-law, my grandmother-in-law.
And dare I say, your aunt?
And dare you say, my aunt and my aunt-in-law. Everyone's got one. Everyone loves them.
I mean, Mother's Day is right around the corner, and there's no better gift than a digital photo frame. You give them the frame. It's got preloaded pictures in there. And you know what? You can update it with an app. So every time you take a new picture of a sweet little person or place or thing in your life, it gets automatically sent to that frame.
Exactly.
And right now, Aura has a great deal for Mother's Day. Listeners can save on the perfect gift by visiting AuraFrames.com to get $30 off plus free shipping on their best-selling frame. Holy smokes.
Excellent deal.
Yeah, that's AuraFrames.com. You use the code HEADGUM at checkout to save.
HEADGUM. Nice.
Yes. HeadGum. It's easy to set up. It's loved by everybody, including Oprah, including your aunt.
Mm-hmm.
So do check them out. That's AuraFrames.com. Use code HeadGum at checkout to save.
Damn right.
And terms and conditions apply, of course.
Of course.
Thanks again to Aura.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective, unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
Handsome. All right, we've returned.
Yeah. And independently of all this history talk, I also had come up with an idea for a segment that I was just calling oral history.
Okay.
But it was going to be an oral history, and each time we'll talk about 1 year of our lives. So,
oh,
like,
thank God, it's about me. So it's about actual shit that I know and care about. I'm sick of talking about oil and fucking energy crises. Enough.
Across the U.S., but also Russia. Let's talk about what
I
was happening in South America in 2009.
Scandals. I don't know anything about any scandal.
Yeah. I don't know about relations. Like, I remember one time just, like, reading, like, I had a long train ride. I think it was, like, 24 or something. And I was like, I'm taking the train from New York to Connecticut. And I, like, bought the New York Times. It was the first time I ever read a paper. And I read it from cover to cover on this train. And I was like, holy shit. There are like four different wars that I didn't know about. Like, I only know about the main one in Iraq, but not like there was one in Colombia. And I was like, this is insane. There's just like armies fighting each other that I don't know about.
Putting the paper down and like looking at the guy next to you. Sorry, do you have any fucking clue what's going on in Colombia? Because you're acting pretty nonchalant right now.
Why are you so coy? Anyway, this one's about you and maybe me and our freshman years of college.
Okay, which were two different years. Mine was in 2001.
Yeah, right, and mine was in 2004.
I mean, my freshman year started out pretty eventfully because day three of school, we move into the dorms on a Sunday. Tuesday, I wake up and a bunch of people are in my dorm room. And because we have a small TV, like not everybody could bring a small TV to their room. Like some people are just like, I'm just going to bring my computer. I won't watch TV. But like me and my roommate are like, let's bring a little TV VCR thing so we can watch TV. Anyway, I wake up and there's a bunch of people watching the news in my room because it's 9/11. That was the big thing that happened like day three of school. Which and that's something wild. I actually do remember what happened in 2000. I want to say one, but it might have been two or three now that I can't
think
about
it. That was pretty easy.
Yeah. So that's how my freshman year starts, is like by 9/11 happening and I'm at Berkeley and like everything is so like free speech, liberal, radical, like the real terrorists are in the White House. This is all because Bush, we're going to use this to justify a war. And I'm just like a freshman, like at a candlelight vigil, be like, whoa, these people are really mad.
Yeah. Wow. So that school was like up in arms even before.
Yeah, it was like a liberal hotbed even before 9/11. And then that sort of launched an entire other reason for them, everybody there to be upset.
Out here in the Northeast, there was a spell where it was just like everyone seemed so behind Bush no matter what. So I'm surprised that like even in September, they were like, Bush is still a bad president. He's going to go to war or something.
Well, I remember at one of my friends likes to recall this joke I made at this 9/11. Like it literally was 9/11. Then that night, a candlelight vigil / speeches by people who were outraged. And one guy did say at the thing, the real terrorists are in the White House. And then I said to my friend, oh my God, somebody better tell the president. He starts laughing. Everybody else is quiet. And he's cracking up at this 9/11 vigil. Of course, the guy meant the president was the terrorist.
But right.
Yeah, the goof is that, I guess. It was a Kiefer Sutherland-esque 24 expose where there was a terrorist in addition to the president in the White House. Made him crack up. We're at the vigil. Terrible place to be for two white freshmen who are like 18-year-old Jews from the Valley laughing at a candlelight vigil in Berkeley.
Wow. I remember that I made a joke on 9/11 to my friends, too. That was significantly worse. I think I like walked into the cafeteria and I said they shot the president while he was pooping on Air Force One.
That's pretty good, actually. Really. And then you said, hey, can you imagine if Steve-O stuck a fish hook through his fucking gonads and went fishing with Osama bin Laden?
Yeah. My friend is like, oh, my dad works in Lower Manhattan.
Oh, shit. Did he learn anything about how the president was taking a dump and got shot?
Dump on Air Force One? They should call it Air Force Number Two. I'm so sorry. Are you able remember to get to on the phone?
Remember your College Humor video that we never shot because it was too soon? I think it might be time to shoot it because enough time had passed.
Guy who won the lottery on 9/11?
That's exactly right. I feel like that's it's like a great Lonely and Horny episode / Jake and Amir-esque sketch.
Did I write it as an article and then we turned it into a script, or was it always a script?
I don't know. It was a script either way, but I don't know if you wrote it before we shot those kinds of things. But it was a guy who was like trying to get amped about winning the lottery, but everyone was depressed because it was a national day of mourning. But you wrote it like 2006, and everyone's like, well, this is probably too fucked up. Now that it's been 23 years, could be time for us to finally shoot this thing.
I just tried to find it in my email. This is the only mention of it. We wrote a script last year called The Guy Who Won the Lottery on 9/11, but that might be a bit dark. It's also only 5 pages long, and we wrote it for College Humor.
To pitch it as a short film?
5 pages long. I remember the script, though. It's like the guy comes down, he like has the winning ticket, he comes downstairs like, fuck yes. And everyone is like gathered around the TV. At one point, he's just like sort of like makes a confident remark and bites into a pear.
My mom works in Building 7.
There was somebody, and like there's one of the friends who's like
1 mil after taxes.
This is exactly the script. She's like, damn, man, I'm so sad too. God. Well, shit, what else should we do? Like, Craig, what's the guy's name, Craig?
I feel like it would be insane not to do something, right?
To celebrate a little bit. We should go out.
I feel like otherwise the terrorists win in some sort of weird way. Besides, we can't really stop what happened, but I feel like I just won the lottery because I did.
We should try to find that script. I think John Grimm has it somewhere.
We could have cast Jeff as the guy that won the lottery.
Yeah. For a long time, we were too afraid to make it. But I remembered it was funny.
And I think, obviously there had to have been somebody who did win a daily lottery on 9/11.
Right. Well, did they do a lottery drawing on 9/11? Or maybe, at the very least, maybe they did it on 9/10. And
yeah, he woke up to find out the news.
Yeah. It seems possible.
With the other news.
It definitely seems possible.
Anyway, yeah. What... devastating / earth shattering / momentous change in human history happened during your freshman year?
George Bush re-election, actually. I think that was that was pretty big. Because we were in the war, and it was kind of like 4 more years felt like it was going to be 4 more years of that bad stuff, and then it was. Yeah.
But you were at a school where probably half the kids voted for him, because it's a small school in Western Pennsylvania.
Yeah, I think I told this story before, but the big events that I remember were the Yankees lost to the Red Sox in the ALCS. Yeah. I believe they went up 3-0, and the Red Sox came back and won 4 games in a row.
And then you left school.
I didn't get out of bed for an entire weekend. I was so depressed. And that was and I was I can't care this much about baseball. It's just, it's not worth it. I'm so sad. And I was just thinking about all of the guys on the team, and I was they're sad. Johnny Damon is upset. Jorge Posada is unhappy this weekend. I'm so sad.
They're already out there in Miami partying. You're much sadder than they'll ever be.
But everybody on my floor was a Yankee fan, and all of us were sad together, and we all hated the Red Sox. And I felt camaraderie with my freshman year, my boys at our dorm. But then I guess a few weeks later, the election was happening, and there was just these guys were chanting in the hall, 4 more years. They all loved George Bush. One of them called me a kike at one point. I was I can't go to school.
That was
here.
After the baseball game.
It was it definitely wasn't 50-50 at Moravian. It was, I think I was it had to be 10 or 15% liberal. I think I was one of the only kids that wanted John Kerry to win.
You're the only one that liked John Kerry and hated John Damon.
Yeah.
Or was Damon Yankee?
No, Damon was on the Yankees at that point.
Oh, God.
I believe.
Okay, you're the only one that liked John Kerry and John Damon.
No, I think Johnny Damon hit a grand slam in that game or something. Or at least he homered. Did Johnny Damon homer in the 2004 ALCS? Because I remember being really amped, because Johnny Damon, he had the caveman look. He had the long hair and the beard. And then when he came to the Yankees, Steinbrenner made him cut his hair, shave the beard. And I was these Red Sox are fucking crying over that. But I think he was on the...
I'll never forgive him for that.
I think he was on the Sox in 2004.
Yeah, he was. He was on Boston during that. And then he came to the Yankees after that.
Yeah. Yeah. God, he was good.
Wait, but you were at freshman year at a college, and then you left after that year. Or did you stay for the next semester or something?
I stayed. So when I was at Moravian, that first semester, I did the normal amount of fucking up. I think I skipped class a bunch. I think I maybe dropped one class or elected to take it pass fail or something. My grades were not great, but it was all fine. I was going to some classes, doing decently, fucking up in other ones, partying, had some friends. And then I don't know what happened, but the longer I was there, the more depressed I got and the more I wanted to go home. And then I would on Thursday, I would cut all my classes, drive home. I told my mom and dad that I didn't have class on Friday. So they were just like, oh, great. And I would stay home from Friday to Sunday.
And how long is that drive?
3 hours. 3 hours door to door.
It's a long drive to do everything.
And then on Sunday, I would leave my parents' house and say I was going back to school, but I would just go to my friend's house and stay there like another night or two, skip all my classes, go back to Moravian for, 2 days or something, and then come back. And then by the time the year was over, I was like, I think I had finals in all of my classes, but you were allowed to leave, as soon as your finals were over, you could go home. Some people had finals like into late May. Some people had finals like that ended in the middle of May or whatever. But I just told my mom and dad like, oh, my finals, I have the first finals and they're all over. I'm going to come home like May 10th. Meanwhile, I just didn't take a single final.
Did you have a plan? Like, by the way, because they will find out. Like, there's no world where you just are invited back to school. Honestly, I would have blamed it on the kike thing.
In retrospect, I should have.
You want me to go back to that school? It's fucking filled with anti-Semites.
Yeah, somebody called me a kike.
I loved classes.
I didn't have a plan. I mean, I knew that I wasn't going to go back. When I went home, I was like, I'm not going back to Moravian. So my plan was basically to get into UConn, go to UConn, and start fresh.
Do a bait and switch of the schools, and then just tell your parents, oh, that didn't work out, but I go to UConn now.
Yeah.
And would they be like, wait a minute, what do you mean you go to UConn now?
I didn't think they would ever even find out, and they wouldn't have, because like you had to log in online to get your grades, and I could just like lie and tell them what they were, and I wouldn't be like, I got straight A's. I'd be like, I got 3 C's and 2 B's, and my parents would be like, oh, that's all right, not bad. But
I guess I'll pay tuition now.
Because
they still have to write checks to the school,
right? Exactly. So, and that is how that's what happened. So they I guess the financial aid, or I had like a partial scholarship to Moravian, and my dad got a letter that said that my GPA had fallen below 0.6. So they had to, so I couldn't have the scholarship anymore. So, he came to me and he was like, what happened? You had a 0.6? Did you take any classes? And then he made me log in and he saw that I failed every single class the second semester. So there was just not really.
Would love a videotape of that moment to just be like, was he mad? Was he sad? Were you scared? Were you laughing? Were you depressed?
Depressed. What's the emotional? Everyone was very upset. Like, I think my dad yelled at me. I was in the basement. I was depressed. My mom was crying. She came down and said, your dad was crying. We just don't think you can. Like, you've messed up every single year since high school and now, and we don't think that you're ever something needs to change. What is it? Something along those lines. And actually, my mom and dad both listen to the show now. So I wonder
if they have the same recollection of this story.
Yeah, I would love to interview them. Actually, specifically him, because I feel like my mom will just she will be positive in remembering it.
But I did. Or she'd be like, I wasn't crying. That never happened. We were never mad. Or they're like, yeah, that's exactly what went down.
Yeah, I think that they've both told me before that they were like scared that I was never ever gonna, make it because I just couldn't. I failed everything.
This is therapy. You never talked about this in a professional manner.
definitely not
that had to have changed something within you, because you then didn't just become like a guy that works at a lumber yard from 19 to 38.
But I mean, I never at school never clicked. I didn't like I
you must have had
I didn't
like
get
an
into
UConn. Something or other,
maybe. I didn't
like
get into
unmedicated
UConn.
The
only school I could go to was Southern, because there wasn't an application. You just paid and you can take a class there. So I took like two classes. Yeah, I took two classes at Southern, and I think it happened again. Like, maybe my parents were like, let's not overload you. take two classes. Yeah. And I failed one and I got a C or a D in the other. And maybe I even failed both of them.
Yeah. I feel like 9/11 happened during my freshman year, and your story is more depressing, if that makes sense. Like, why do you have a sadder freshman year than mine, which literally
and a sadder sophomore year. 9/11. Yeah, yeah, they were really all bad, basically until junior year.
And then what happened junior year? Like, it's not like you then got ADHD diagnosed and started taking Adderall and started focusing and went to school.
Yeah, well, during sophomore year, so it all started with freshman year when I was depressed alone in the dorm room. I was looking at College Humor and I read articles then. I believe I read something you wrote and I read something Streeter wrote. And then I submitted kind of. And then I didn't submit anything then, but I was home for the summer after I'd flunked out. I submitted an article. It was like, you have to submit a writing sample was what it was asking for. And I submitted a writing sample for something I had written. Cause I was always like interested in writing. I like tried to submit something to like the New Haven Register.
Guy who won the lottery on 9/11.
Yeah, exactly. And I submitted that as a writing sample to Streeter being like, could I write College Humor articles? And he was like, this is great, but it's too specific to New Haven. Cause I think the article was like first date ideas that you can do for cheap in New Haven. And he's like, this is great, but it's too specific. Yeah. And he asked me to change it. And I still remember my first article was something called The Lost Art of the First Date. And I like wrote it, and I think it was like all in the character of like some confident jackass. It was basically a bad date. It was lonely and horny in 2004.
Right. So you did that while in school and then...
Or while waiting to go to Southern. So then I was like fucking up at Southern, but every month or two I would have an article on College Humor that... Remember that back in those days, the articles were like 500 words and they would sit on the front page for like 3 or 4 days. You could have an article there for the weekend. So I think that like having some semblance of success in something that was going well helped me feel like my life wasn't completely failing, but it also made me give up on school faster because I was like, well, why do I need to go to Southern? I have an article on College Humor, which you know, isn't impressive to my parents. Because
did they ever like want you to see a counselor or anything like that?
No.
They weren't like therapy / medication / something. I wonder if that happened
definitely
this year,
not.
Everything would have been different.
Yeah, maybe so. Maybe they would have made me take medicine. But like back then, way back in 2004, you were just allowed to have ADHD. But I don't think I really had ADHD. I think I was lazy. I don't know what that what diagnosis would be. It'd be kind of interesting to talk to a therapist about it too. Maybe I'll go.
Right.
But everything's fine now.
Everything turned out well. So joke's on you, I guess. I didn't have to learn anything about myself. I just sort of backed into a job. And then, but at College Humor, did you take it a lot more seriously than school? Or were you like, did you have the same habits at school as you did at the job?
Yeah, I feel like one of the excuses I always had for being bad at school was like, I don't want to go to school. I know what I want to do. And I knew that I wanted to write. I knew I wanted to be a writer. But I mean, if I had a kid that was saying that to me now, I would be like, well, you have to do well at everything to prove that you can also do the thing that you like well. But it was, I was just like so entitled that I was like, no, I'm going to fail biology because I'm a writer. It's like, well, you're 17. You're not anything.
You're not a biologist or a writer, actually.
Yeah. You're actually just some piece of shit living rent-free in the basement, stealing the car on the weekends.
Do you think if you went to high school or some sort of school now, you would fall back into that negative feedback loop? Or you're like, now I have sort of overcome it and I'm interested and I'm down to learn and blah, blah, blah.
I think now I view myself as being like slightly more collaborative and like aware of people's feelings and efforts. Like if I went back to school or something now, even if I wasn't into it, I think I would like value the teacher's time and respect them, which was something I didn't do as a child.
As a shitty teenage boy.
Yeah.
There's nothing a teenage boy does less than respecting other people's time / adults in general, especially at school.
This is a great segment. Let's next time not talk about me and we'll like pull out one of your report cards or something. Did you have like written report cards?
We must have had them just sent to our house, but I don't know if my mom like kept any of them.
Let's
also now that I admitted to cheating, I might get my high school diploma revoked.
Let's get your records.
Just break into the Milken Community High School database and see how I did.
Be awesome.
I'm sure it would be very boring and fine, like half B pluses, half A minuses.
Right. Yeah, I think in our school we had like the teachers had to like write paragraphs about us. So it wasn't, we got grades, but they had to be like explained.
Yes, exactly. Much more holistic. Ours was very just like, you got an 88. That's a B plus. Bye. Right.
Yeah. Yeah. When I was in public school, the report card was just the letters next to the names of the class. But then when I went to Hampden Hall, it was like, it was more about the page and a half. Just recap. Yeah.
Don't worry about the B minus. We don't like to think about that.
Yeah.
I want to talk
Jake
to you.
Got about a, Jake got a B, person. But he's actually pretty bad beyond that.
don't
think
the
B is fine.
Yeah. All right. Interesting episode. History / personal history. So maybe next time we could talk about the future a little bit.
I love that.
I'm sick of the past.
Yeah.
Speaking of the future, we're still making Patreon videos on patreon.com/JA. We're watching more and more Jake and Amir videos. We're watching Fired. I guess that is more about the past.
Right.
And we watch probably 300 Jake and Amirs at this point, maybe even more.
Yeah. And they're all amazing.
They're all incredible, each better than the last. So you can check that out at patreon.com/JA. And of course, we'll be back here next week. We're doing these on video as well, so you can watch it on our YouTube channel. So watch us, listen to us. We appreciate it either way. And we'll be back next week.
Peace.
Thanks again, Ferris, for the positive theme.
Yeah.
Bye, everybody.
That was a HeadGum Original.
Hey there, podcast listener. Good news. We're doing another HeadGum Happy Hour in New York City.
Whoa, that's amazing news. Amir, why don't you tell the folks when and where it is?
Okay, fine. It's Tuesday, May 7th at 7:30 p.m. at the Bell House.
Okay, and why don't you tell everybody who the fucking hosts are?
Yeah, that would be us. It would be, we're hosting it. It's Jake and Amir.
Okay, and how about this, you little piece of shit? Why don't you tell everybody who is going to be performing? Who is this show featuring?
All right, I don't appreciate being called that, but it is featuring Charlie Bardet, Natalie Rotter-Lateman of Exploration
Live. And why don't you tell them, why don't you tell them who else it's featuring?
Yeah, Nili Tamaras and Elise Morales of the Go Touch Grass podcast, and
some surprise guests as well.
More, yes.
And Mir, why don't you go ahead and close this out now? You say something like, thanks for listening, we'll see you at the show, or something like that. Why don't you go ahead and do that?
I will.
Can you do that?
So go buy a ticket at headgum.com/live, and we'll see you there.
All right, bye.